Line Ryan Pike of Flames Nation joins us. Hello, Pike.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you? It's been a eventful week with Mangiapane World Championship and then some coaching news yesterday. What was your reaction to the coaching shuffles the Flames made yesterday?
Well, when I saw the announcement pop up in my inbox, my initial thought was, ooh, Kirk Muller? That's kind of a good get. I mean, you know, Muller is a guy who has a, you know, a really good resume. He's played a ton in the playoffs. He made it to two Stanley Cups, you know, two Stanley Cup finals as a player. And then he, since retiring, he's gone on a pretty nice tear as a head coach. He had three seasons as a head coach in Carolina. He's been a head coach an assistant coach rather extensively, you know, throughout the NHL, primarily with Montreal, but also with St. Louis. So, you know, he's a guy who's sort of been there, done that. And if you're looking at what has at times been an underachieving Flames forward group, and you're looking for somebody to give them a kick in the butt, so to speak, you know, a guy who's played 1,300 NHL games and has nearly 1,000 points instantly has credibility. And a guy who was able to play really structured, really smart two-way game, who got Selke votes during his playing years, that's a guy who's going to have some credibility when he tells the Flames forwards, here's how the head coach wants you to play. So I think that was a really smart move. And I think given what's been ailing the Flames over the last number of years with sort of some structural deficits and sometimes with how their forwards are playing, that's a pretty smart move. And I think it's a really smart move. And, Cale McLean, those of us who've covered the prospects in the organization know him quite well. He's very much cut from a similar cloth as former Stockton coach Ryan Huska, who's currently an assistant with the Flames and will be retained. He was the guy who stuck around through the shuffle. And, you know, Cale, like Ryan Huska, is a very thoughtful sort of, teacher mentality coach. And he's a guy who's really up on systems and tactics and, you know, ways to motivate the younger players. So, you know, if you look at the Flames coaching staff now, they have sort of two guys in Sutter and Muller who, you know, look a little bit more old school and can sort of, you know, crack the whip a bit. And then you have some, you know, a couple of younger guys who are sort of a bit closer in age to the young core of the team and have coached most of them through their time in Stockton. And they'll be able to have some credibility with that group too. So if you're looking to sort of, you know, push the different groups of the Flames, you know, the veterans and the young guys, there's a nice composition of the coaching staff that I think will suit both those needs rather well.
Having talked to you today, I know that you are in the process of doing a bit of a deep dive on the coaching staff, this current one that we just found out about yesterday, and also some past coaching staffs and how they worked power plays, penalty kills, and different duties. What have you unearthed, Mr. Pike?
Well, I mean, you know, the power play the last couple of years took a bit of a step back. Part of that was, you know, you're putting Ray Edwards on the bench, and Ray Edwards is a very experienced assistant coach, and he's worked a lot at the minor league level. And the last few years in the organization, he's really been the guy heading up a lot of the prospect development. And, you know, it's a bit of a big ask to throw someone who hasn't coached a lot in the NHL into running an NHL power play. And so I think, you know, making that move in terms of, you know, shifting away from Ray Edwards and moving him back to development and bringing in Muller will do a lot of interesting things. The interesting thing, if you're one of those folks going, well, I don't know, why would Sutter keep Ryan Huska around? I mean, the penalty kill, you know, both relative to the murderer's row of power plays in the North Division and relative to the rest of the league over the last two, three seasons has really made a lot of nice little strides. You know, if you look at the underlying numbers of the Flames PK the last year or two, you know, it's moved into the top 10 in terms of being able to suppress chances and suppress expected goals. And, you know, realistically, the percentages of your power play and your penalty kill are are kind of dependent on how good the goalies are that you're shooting against or, you know, have, you know, playing in front of you. But if you make life easy on your goaltenders, if you, you know, reduce the quality of chances against and the frequency of good chances, then you're going to do, you know, you're going to give yourself a lot of chances to be successful. And, you know, the Flames have done that in the last couple of years on the penalty kill. So we'll see if they can turn around the power play. I mean, I don't think it's any stretch of the imagination to say that the Flames have personnel, the personnel they have right now, player wise, probably should be better than they have been in the last couple of years in terms of creating some stuff on the power play. So we'll see what Muller ends up doing with it when everyone breaks camp in September.
safe to say, like, there's been, I mean, maybe not safe to say, but how much do you buy into the narrative that whether it's Mueller or Huska, that the Flames have a potential succession plan to Daryl Sutter in the organization?
I think there's probably something to it. I mean, you know, if you look at how the Flames have done things last few years, I mean, you know, they gave Jeff Ward a chance to be head coach because he was a guy that they recruited in, probably with the premise of, hey, if something happens, you know, with Bill Peters, if he leaves the organization, I think they hoped he'd leave in, you know, a more positive way. But I think they always wanted to have sort of somebody in that strong associate role waiting in the wings because, you know, it's nice to have two guys, you know, somebody might get sick, somebody might get hurt, somebody might have a death in the family or something. And so you probably want to have a second guy waiting in the wings just for, you know, pure logistics. And, you know, the Flames, they've done a nice job the last few years bringing guys along. I mean, you know, both Cale McLean and Ryan Huska were fairly well-regarded coaches in the minor league system. I mean, the Flames got, you know, Huska out of the Kelowna Rockets. And, you know, Kelowna had a really nice system going, you know, for player development for years, dating back to when Huska was an assistant coach. And, you know, I think the Flames were lucky to get him, you know, when, you know, I believe Daryl Sutter mentioned that when Ryan Huska got recruited to coach in Adirondack, the Kings were looking around and looking for assistance and wanted to see if he could come in. But, you know, he wanted to, you know, build a program in Stockton and in Adirondack. And I think, you know, he was rewarded by, you know, for his success there by coming up and being able to coach the NHL. So, you know, I think it is kind of interesting that, you know, you do have, you know, Huska has been a head coach and, you know, probably, you know, we saw when, you know, when the Flames did the coaching change, Huska was the guy who was counted on to run the bench for a couple of games in a couple, you know, pretty important games while they're waiting for Daryl Sutter to go through his quarantine. So that says a lot about the level of trust they have in him to sort of man the ship and sort of keep things going while they're making a fairly significant coaching change. So I think there's a lot to it. I think having two guys who come from, you know, fairly different backgrounds in terms of, you know, Mueller, you know, was a longtime player, and Huska, who his playing career wasn't nearly as decorated as Mueller's, but he comes from, you know, a really, you know, strong background from the coaching perspective. I think, you know, having a couple guys like that waiting in the wings could do a lot of good things because both of them are going to be motivated and waiting to sort of, you know, be potentially that next guy up here.
Ryan Pike's with us, FlamesNation.ca, on the big show this afternoon, Will.
Ryan, how important do you think it is for the franchise to have that continuity or the ability to graduate coaches from the American League to the NHL? Because it's the second time, especially in the tree living era, they've done this, first Huska and now with McLean. How important is that, do you think, for this team?
Well, I think, honestly, you know, it might not seem that way, but I think it goes back to the salary cap. With the flat cap potentially through 2024 or 2025, you know, it's the draft and developing players and graduating them into the NHL is super important. And if you want to be successful, you need to find guys, develop guys, and then move them into the NHL quickly and have them become useful players. And, you know, I think the fact that, you know, Huska and McLean have that continuity with those guys helps out. But I think the fact they have that familiarity with the systems, with the personalities, with the players, I think, you know, right now the difference between, you know, heck, look at how close the North Division was this year. Look at how close a lot of the games were. If you can figure out a way to get a teeny tiny bit more out of every fringe player you have, every bottom six player on your roster, that could be the difference between making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, or having home ice or not having home ice. And I think having those guys in your system who know, you know, like say the Flame, you know, Huska coached Rasmus Anderson for years in the minors. So having, you know, someone familiar with Rasmus and his personality and what makes him tick, who can advise, you know, either the head coach or do it themselves in terms of what buttons to push to get him going and get the most out of him. I think having the familiarity is huge. And I think it's going to make, it could potentially make a big difference with the Flames potentially going young with and graduating a few guys from their entry-level system into the NHL pretty soon.
Now, Pat and I talked about this lots this week. I know you've had opinions on it throughout the season and certainly the early part of the off season here. But as a CBA, staunch CBA guy, you would know all the details on it. How important is the late July deadline for Johnny Gaudreau and his contract clause on the no trade? How significant is that for you in terms of the Flames and Brad Treliving deciding what to do with the player? And, you know, Pat and I have had lengthy discussions about, you know, I'm pretty sure, Pat, speak up if I'm talking for you out of turn here, but, you know, if you're not close in negotiations, and we're not calling Johnny Gaudreau a liar, because I do believe he loves the city and the organization, but also he's got to look out for him, and it might be his only chance at free agency. If you don't get a sense you're anywhere close in early negotiations here in July, would you look at moving him before that clause kicks in? How would you handle that deadline come the end of next month?
I think I'd say by Canada Day or so, you should have an idea of how things are going and sort of decide your course of action. Because, you know, I think the benefit with Treliving is that, you know, Treliving went through, you know, what was at times a fairly contentious negotiation with Gaudreau last time around. So I think he kind of has a sense of how things go, you know, in terms of how to navigate that negotiation. And I think the fact that he's gone through some fairly significant negotiations with pretty much every key Flames player the last few years, I think he has sort of a sense of, you know, how do you know when you're getting close? How do you know when you have momentum, and how do you know when you don't? And if you feel like you have momentum and you're creeping up towards, you know, early July, mid-July, okay, you probably feel pretty good about it, and you probably have a sense that maybe, you know, you can get something done before that period. And then, you know, hooray, you have something to announce, everyone's happy. Right. But if you don't, if you think, you know, you're at a gridlock, if you think your things are dragging, then I think at that point you have that conversation of, you know, okay, what's plan B here? I think internally, you know, between Gaudreau and the Flames, they would love to have him back and love to have him back long term, because, you know, anyone who's seen Gaudreau when he's sort of keyed in and when the team is, you know, going, he's probably in, you know, within a handful of players in franchise history in terms of being able to get you out of your seat with some crazy move. But, you know, if they can't make the money work or if they want to go in a different direction, I think they need to know fairly quickly. So I think probably by about Canada Day, you probably have a good sense. I think the Flames will probably have a good sense of, is this going to be able to come together? And if it can't, then I think they probably spend the balance of the month looking at different options and potentially making a move before, you know, the potential teams you can trade with go from 31 to 5.
From all the stuff we hear from the Flames, you know, change is certainly inevitable. I'm curious, Ryan, a handful of UFAs, are you bringing any back? If so, which ones are you bringing back? I know Pat had mentioned that for expansion reasons, a pretty good chance we'll see a signing here the next little while of Brett Ritchie. But outside of that, do you anticipate any UFAs coming back to this team?
There's a couple of guys who I think could be decent options. I mean, I think you know, Pat was right on the nose. I think Brett Ritchie, you know, he showed he can at least be a fairly, you know, responsible, productive bottom six guy. And he can play. I think if he's playing in the top six, you've had some issues with some guys who should be playing your top six. But I think as a complimentary piece, he was perfectly fine. I think he was, you know, good enough, and he didn't cost a lot. So those are the kind of gambles you kind of like. I could also see Michael Stone coming back. You know, he would, if you look at his underlying numbers, he was shockingly good considering that he doesn't play a style of game that tends to lead to good underlyings. I mean, he's a guy who plays a lot in the defensive zone and, you know, tries to play glass and out. And typically it's that just doesn't lead to good underlyings. But, you know, when the Flames were having some issues with the performances of guys like, you know, Valimaki, they stuck him with Michael Stone and said, hey, you know, this guy will help you out. And I think, you know, is Michael Stone going to be a Norris winner? You know, I think even he would say probably not, but for a guy who's coming in on a league minimum contract, who spent the majority of the year on the taxi squad and just sort of got shuffled in as sort of a, you know, 10, you know, give us 15 minutes of quiet minutes per night, that was perfectly acceptable. And if you're going to have guys like Valimaki and Connor Mackey in your bottom pairing for the majority of next year, you might as well have Michael Stone as a fairly inexpensive seventh man on the defensive group so that he can come in and, you know, maybe he plays 20, 25 games and just plays once in a while with Valimaki or Mackey to help settle them down if they get a little bit jumpy. So I think that could be, those are the two guys that immediately come to mind. But beyond that, I think we're going to see a lot of new faces in the organization. And I think potentially a lot of the new faces we're going to see on the NHL roster are already in the organization, but it'll be guys coming up from either junior or the American League and pushing for spots.
Ryan Pike's with us, flamesnation.ca. Just to kind of continue on that trend, we already know a few potential contract questions have been answered. So you broke the story yesterday. Alexander Yelichin, who is a pending RFA, he's off to the KHL. Also, Joachim Nordstrom has signed in CSKA Moscow on the KHL. So those are the two that we know will not be back for next season. What else do we know, or what else are we looking at? What are some of the rumors out there about some of these pending RFAs?
Oh, and there's one more. Carl Jotman Lurby, originally from Malmo, returned back to Malmo in the Swedish Hockey
League.
How
could you forget, Pat?
Lurby Derby.
This is why we bring Pike on, because I don't think I would have remembered CJ Lurby.
Exactly. But I think that trend might continue. It wouldn't shock me to see, potentially Nikita Nesterov. Some of the Russian outlets have been speculating that fairly openly that Nikita Nesterov might be a guy who goes back to Russia. I don't think he, came over with hopes and dreams of being, a healthy scratch down the stretch for the Flames. So that would make some sense. And, it's hard to say what the Flames' plans are long term for Artem Zagadulin. He, played a handful of games. He was sort of the taxi squad goalie for the majority of the year, off and on. So, and with Dustin Wolf coming in, potentially, being, a guy who could play a lot at the American League level, I'm not really sure where Zagadulin fits in, but, they might have other options. They might have some ways to get creative. Heck, for all I know, they might try to carry three guys, but, I think it's fairly, I don't think it's too much of a stretch of the imagination to see some of the European guys who sort of came in here with the salary cap so tight. And, let's be honest, would you rather be, a spare part in an NHL organization making $700,000 a year, or go to Europe and potentially make more of that and play more? So I think that's sort of some of the options that a lot of these European players are juggling right now. And we'll probably get some clarity about that pretty soon, because, by early July, a lot of these, European teams are going to begin to get set up for camps, because before you know it, it'll be August and the Champions League will get going. So a lot of these teams have to make those roster decisions very quickly. So I think we'll see probably, two or three more, names kicking around that may or may not return to the Flames, get some clarity pretty quickly.